Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man, still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone. All alone in a time of...
Welcome to Talking Giants, presented by SeatGeek. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Panic. And the Giants selected Malik Nabers with the sixth pick in the 2024 NFL Draft. Justin, we're really happy about it. We're going to break it all down. This was the, you know, Giants were pick six, and they got what I thought was the third best player in the draft, in my opinion, the second best non-quarterback after Marvin Harrison Jr. The Giants fill the wide receiver hole that was created when they traded Odell for all-pro defensive tackle Dexter Lawrence. I'm so excited. Like, this has been the guy, Justin. I do four mock drafts. The last three have been Malik Nabers, right? Content brain kind of makes you want to switch it up a little bit. This is the guy I wanted, Justin. Even watching Romo Odunze before the draft reminded me how much more I like Malik Nabers. So really excited about it. We're going to break it down from every angle, from the fact that they were trying to trade it for Drake May, from the fact that they passed up on J.J. McCarthy, round two big board, legal issue, like all of that stuff. I'm so excited to talk about it because we got a great one in Malik Nabers.
Yeah, you know, that's certainly the goal. That's certainly the hope, man. And I'm excited. I'm really excited. The New York Football Giants are a better football team today than they were yesterday. Love that sentence. Love when I feel confident that I can say that and save the whole, who's going to throw the ball? We'll save that. We'll talk about it. But yeah, they need good football players. The Giants need
great football players. Yeah,
and not just good football players, man. We're at a point where you look at around the rest of the league, they have stars. There's stars up and down the rosters for a lot of these teams. And we're hoping that some of these guys like Kayvon Thibodeau, Dexter Lawrence can continue to be a star. Andrew Thomas can stay healthy. So there are some, you know, you could say that there are some stars on this team. Brian Burns, we're hoping he can become even more of a star. But especially on the offensive side of the ball, where they need to become more explosive, we need to become more of a modern offense, and Malik Nabers is hopefully the first step in starting to unlock that for us. Superstar player with superstar potential, really high ceiling. I'm excited, man. I really am.
Yeah, and some big picture thoughts before we like go into Malik Nabers, and I do want to spend like a good amount of time on passing up on J.J. McCarthy. But here's where I'm at. I did a lot of film work on J.J. McCarthy. Yeah. I did a 40-minute breakdown going through all the games and had already previously went through all the games. So had went through all the, you know, film possible for me twice, all 22, slowing it down, pausing it, looking at it. And to me, to basically everyone who evaluates the NFL draft without having the pressure of needing to get a quarterback, agreed for the most part. It's like, this guy is just not a top 10 player in the draft. And most people don't have him as a top 20. And a lot of people don't have him as even, you know, a top 30 player. And, like, to me, that was evident. And it wasn't just, like, you know, Justin, there's quarterbacks who are Jaden Daniels, right? He went second overall. There's a ton of talent. Some people don't think he's going to be good, but a lot of people think he's great. With J.J. McCarthy, it was almost unanimous that he could be a solid player, but he's not top of the draft worthy. And Joe Shane saw that. You can say winner and his attitude and all that, but his film didn't. There's nothing about it that said this guy should go in the top 10. But Joe Shane had all the pressure in the world to force a quarterback, like a couple teams did to a fucking 10th degree with the Falcons and
even
the
some
Denver,
teams that didn't really have pressure to take a quarterback
in the Denver Broncos. But I'm very happy because it would have been the easy way out for Shane to just take a swing, But they stood pat and said, hey, this guy is not the best player, and he's not someone who we think is going to be a franchise quarterback and passed up on him. For Malik Nabers, who was a great wide receiver. So I don't want to spend this whole beginning talking about J.J. McCarthy, but I am very happy that Joe Shane stood by his evaluation and didn't force the quarterback over a great, great player and Malik Nabers.
You also don't take a swing on quarterback in the first round. You really shouldn't take a swing, at least my philosophy. You really shouldn't be taking a swing at quarterback at all if you have a major QB question. Because, hey, if they were to take like a Michael Penix or a Bo Nix, let's just say they fall to the second round, I'm not looking as that, oh, it's a swing on a guy and there's no pressure. No, it's still a guy that you're drafting in the second round. This is still a guy at Atlanta Falcons. This is still a guy that you're drafting in the top 10. You know, this is still a guy that you're investing a lot of resources into. You know, first
round. You have to believe he's going to be a franchise quarterback.
It's not usually when you say, "Oh, we're going to take a swing on a player." That's not really the biggest confidence and confidence booster and the biggest instiller of confidence. So you don't really do that. And hey, if you believe that J.J. McCarthy is a franchise changing player, and it's like that's what you genuinely believe, cool. We disagree with that, but
so does the GM.
I will say on the other, so does the Giants GM, which. Didn't you have a tweet about the say your tweet?
Well, the argument I got about being so strongly against J.J. McCarthy is, well, if Joe Shane evaluates and decides he's his guy, you got to trust him.
Yeah.
And now those people are also saying, well, good luck, Joe Shane. You're going to be fired.
Yeah.
Right. Like what happened to him having an evaluation, trusting it? Now, I'll never be an advocate for just trusting the GM, but wow. I'm replying to that argument. The whole time. So, like, I don't put blind trust in Joe Shane,
yeah.
But I do think he got this evaluation.
I want to be quick on this, too. I do think, while we're kind of shitting on McCarthy a little bit, I didn't like the fit with the Giants. I didn't like the fit with Brian Daboll. I didn't like the fit of, you look at our roster and where it's at right now, you look at the offensive line, you look at the wide receivers, blah, blah, blah. I didn't like J.J. McCarthy as a franchise QB fit for the New York Giants. Now, I love it for the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I think he'll look good on the Vikings.
I think a lot of people will look good on the Vikings.
And it's not anti-QB for us because we both wanted to trade up Drake May.
Yes, we wanted to trade up and get Drake May. I think Drake May can be that franchise-changing guy, even possibly from day one, even with the roster, maybe kind of how it's currently constructed. Yeah. So I think J.J. McCarthy can have a really good rookie year with the Minnesota Vikings, but it helps when you have Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, T.J. Hockenson, and then two of the best tackle combos in the league. Like that, helps.
And a really good coach. But let's talk about Malik Nabers, Justin, because that's Nabers. Who the Giants drafted at wide receiver.
It was the most important thing for the Giants after night one, whether it was trading up to get a quarterback, right, or it was getting Malik Nabers or Romo Dunze, it was very important for them to add a game-changing possible blue-chip football player that could, I'll say it, possibly change the trajectory of the franchise. That is what the potential that Malik Nabers has with a top 10 pick. That's what you're expected to do. And I feel confident that Malik Nabers can be that.
Absolutely, Justin. Malik Nabers, the wide receiver at LSU, 6 foot, 200 pounds. He had almost 1,600 yards this last season within 13 games played, 14 touchdowns on a 70% catch rate. He's just an extremely gifted wide receiver who can challenge you with any route and at any level of the field. And I've been repeating that line that he attacks all three levels of the field. Brian Daboll, in their post-draft press conference, that was like the first thing he mentioned about him. He's like, he attacks deep, he attacks intermediate, and he attacks in the short game. The speed is great, and it's effortless how he's able to get to top speed. You know, the acceleration is A+. Like, anybody who is on their heels, he's running past them. Like, it was insane to watch him just run past SEC corners. Like, his vertical sell while being able to tempo routes, it just sets up everything. Like, and he's extremely snappy getting into his breaks. He's able to use stutter, right? He's good at the top of the route. He's able to use stutter, throw a foot jab, a head fake. Like, they're very flawless.
It's so effortless, man.
In the way he does.
So smooth.
Yeah, and then he uses that sell from vertical and speed cuts to get into the intermediate game. And just, like, and the other thing that I really like is, you know, with wide receivers, we talk about how fast they can go, how quickly they can go fast. You know what one of the most underrated talking points on great wide receivers is? Their best ability? Their ability to stop.
And then start.
And Malik Nabers can do that. He stops on a dime. And so that's going to set you up. Like, when you're respecting the vertical threat that he is, it's going to set up the curls and hitches, those types of catches.
Yeah. And sometimes you see guys, like, really gear down, right? Like, oh, I have to make a concerted effort here where, yeah, it looks like they're moving a lot, but they're not. You know, where he makes it look, it almost doesn't even look like it's a full stop start, but it is. And that's how smooth, that's how effortless the movement is. And it's more effective when it looks that smooth compared to guys that gear down and really they're pumping their arms, and you're actually taking up way more energy and way more space and way more time doing that versus Malik Nabers. It's just so smooth.
Yeah. So, I mean, and he's great tracking the ball down deep. He's got a good feel for zone to influence defenders and find the hole. You get in a scramble, Joe's going to be good. And here's the thing that I think is the most valuable for early on, right? And we'll talk about this with Daniel Jones. He's just a great yak threat, like plant his foot in the ground and go.
That's the biggest reason why I'm excited.
He runs through bad tackle attempts with like really good contact balance. Like he's a huge, huge yak threat. The stats back that up. The film backs that up.
I have stats on it.
And that's why, like, you can, like, if the Giants have drafted Romo Odunze, if Malik Nabers was off the board and they drafted Romo Odunze, I would have been excited about that pick. But I also would have been like, year one may not look great because it is a lot of vertical contested catch stuff. Mm-hmm. And
we know Jones is not
Daniel Jones for the last 4 years has proven to not be willing to pull that trigger consistently.
Right.
So again, there's so many pauses that we talk about. Some quick negative notes that I have on him. Needs to be crisper, like flattening out like those digs and out types of routes, right? When you need to get at a 90-degree angle. And if you look at the best wide receivers like Torrey Holton stuff, it's not even a 90-degree angle. It's like an 85-degree angle. You kind of want to come back to the ball a little bit. Versus his releases need to be polished, like specifically outside releases. And sometimes we'll start, like, didn't deal with a lot of press. Like, they moved him in the slot and outside, played basically 50-50 there. He'll be outside on the Giants, but he's just going to be moved around a lot. That feels like it's been a theme with a lot of, like, Jalin Hyatt was totally different player with Hyatt, but Hyatt was like, oh, he's a slot. No, he's not. He's an outside guy in the NFL. Yeah. So is Nabers, but he'll get his fair share of slot reps too, because that's also just how Brian Daboll runs his offense.
Yeah, even Slayton's slot snaps, I think, increased last year.
He had some drops this past year. He can be hit or miss on like the tough contested grabs, even though the analytics on that are pretty good. And then this one's like a weird one, but he just has his fair share of times where he just slips.
Okay.
You know, like, so those are the negatives on him. But I love this player. I've said it. He hits all three levels of the field, you know. And I did my Romo Odunze film breakdown, like I said, and I really like Odunze. And we had talked about them, like, versus each other. Like, so we talked about, like, if they pick Romo Odunze, like, he's just, like, a more trusted person. You know, we'll talk about Nabers off-field stuff. But I would have been I would have trusted it. I would have been happy about it. But I also would have been disappointed because I do view Malik Nabers as like a clearly better player.
And the ceiling's higher. It's much higher.
Yeah.
At least in my opinion.
So
where Odunze is maybe a little bit more like he's more reliable, right? But Nabers has like this potential, the big plays. And
he's just going to get
excitement.
Open. He's going to get open at a better rate than Romo Odunze is. So he's going to be a better yak threat than Romo Odunze is. So I like this guy. I've said the all three levels line a million times. It's just truly unreal how he was able to just dust SEC cornerbacks and get, like, guys playing the SEC should not be able to get as open as he was able to do it. And honestly, we talk about all the great production. Jaden Daniels left production on the field for him.
A lot, man.
And he still did all that.
My opinion of Jaden Daniels when we did our wide receiver draft preview prep, my opinion on Jaden Daniels went down, and that's when I officially put Drake May as like, all right, you're my clear-cut QB2, because there was a lot of stuff that was left on the field for Malik Nabers. And also, Drake May didn't have the same talent at wide receiver. I have some advanced stats. I have some advanced stats among draft-eligible players for Malik Nabers. And I also do want to go through – I want to go through the three levels of the field. I have stats on that too, but I'll start off with just like the general ones. Missed tackles forced, he had 30 this year. That was fourth amongst draft-eligible players. Yards per route run, 3.64. That was first.
Most yards per game.
Yards after catch per reception, 6.6. That was 15th. I think that's really impressive because of the amount of targets that he got, the sheer number of targets, and the fact that he was targeted at all three levels of the field,
and he
especially
was,
deep.
And he was six in just total yak for the class. And that includes names, right? You're like, oh, six? He was the second wide receiver. That includes names of Malik Washington, Smoke Harris, Brennan Press, like that. So that just includes anyone who's draft eligible. Like that includes UDF guys who played for Louisiana Tech, like Smoke Harris did. Maybe Smoke Harris is a steal. I haven't watched him. But like for guys looked in the top 100, like it's number one for most of these categories.
Yeah.
Second in touchdowns, only to his teammate, Right. So he was able to be second in the touchdowns despite the fact that his teammate got 17.
Right. So you're again yards after the catch and missed tackles forced. I mean, that is the singular most reason among, you know, obviously among some other things, but what Malik Nabers can do outside of what the play call is. And that's not something that we've had basically since, you know, Saquon Barkley did it early on in his career. Like, regardless of what the play call is, and running backs are naturally and inevitably just more limited in what they can do from an explosive play standpoint than I think wide receivers, even though running backs touch the ball more, right? But a guy that could just rise above, all right, well, the play call is this, but you can house it here. You can turn this 5-yard catch, this 5-yard dig, into a 15-yard play. That's what makes me most excited about Malik Nabers as of right now. 9 touchdowns of 20-plus yards. EPA per route run, second in the class. Deep catches, second. Excuse, I have to cough. Deep yards, contagious. Third. It's contagious. Malik Nabers makes me overwhelmed. And then 78.7% of catches result in a touchdown or first down. So that's some basic stats. And then I have, like, going through all three
levels. You stole all my stats. He's 10 for 22 on contested catches. Did you say that one, buddy?
Mm-mm.
All right, then I did. I'm just in love with this player.
Yeah.
Right? Do I think the Giants are Super Bowl contenders this year?
No.
Yes, no. No, right? Do I feel great about the Giants' outlook for the future? No. But I feel better than I did this morning. I honestly was dreading this draft today because I thought the Giants were going to panic and screw it up. Yeah. I really did think they would panic and screw this up.
But they didn't.
So I'm excited about J.J. McCarthy.
Can I talk about something? And then I want to talk about
Talk to us about something.
I really want to talk about specifically the intermediate level part of the field with Malik Nabers.
Let's do it.
So, DraftKings. Nice. The 82-game preseason, it's in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Yep, it's the NBA playoffs and NBA playoff action. It's at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. It's the best place to get in on the action, get some skin in the game. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting odds boosts, and so much more. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use code WORLD. New customers bet just $5. Get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code WORLD, only on DraftKings. Guess what?
Only on DraftKings.
The crown? It's yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, Helpsville is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort in Kansas. 21-plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. Bobby Skinner, you'll be glad you did.
You'll be glad you did.
Like, I'm very passionate about this next talking point.
The Giants are glad they did.
I think I'm going to make a short on this because I'm very passionate about this next talking point. So I talk all the time about what on this show, about what the Giants need.
Efficient plays.
No, it's another E word.
Endless drives.
Nope, I hate endless drives. You don't score on endless drives. I talk a lot about explosive plays. People know it. It's my MO. It's my thing. You're tired of hearing about it, right? So that's not where I'm going to go with this, because we know Malik Nabers is a dog. We know he can catch the deep ball, right? He likes to call himself a dog. Like, he
can do damage.
He does damage. A lot of D words. Dogs, damage. An area of the field where I feel the Giants need the most improvement is the intermediate game, 10 to 19 air yards, and plays that get 10 to 19 yards. Believe it or not, it's not just 20-plus yards. The Giants last year were last in the NFL in plays between 10 to 19 yards with 71. Guess what, Bobby? Bet you didn't know this. Tennessee and Chicago were tied for 31st with 83. That's a large gap. That is a very large gap, which is a crazy difference. Hey, they were 26th in 20-plus yard pass plays, even with Tyrod to end the season there. There were some points where they were like above average in that category. But the intermediate stuff has always been missing, I think even in 2022. So in that 10 to 19 yard range, PFF breaks it up by short, intermediate, and deep, 20-plus. In that 10 to 19 yard range, Nabers was 5th in yards per route run among draft-eligible players, fourth in yards after catch per reception, and tied for the lead in missed tackles forced. He had 21 catches on 33 targets for 286 yards. Running hitches this past year. Bobby, even in your film breakdown, he had some nice in-breaking routes as well. Having a guy that could just get open in the intermediate part of the field, and then with Yak, possibly even turn that into a big play, I feel like that's just the guy, type of guy, that the Giants need. Not just a receiver who can obviously take the top off, but a reliable target in the intermediate part of the field. Like where I've always wanted Slayton to even be a guy that maybe gets a little bit more separation, not just banking on the explosive play. And I think he's done it at certain points, but Neighbors the Ceiling is a guy that can get 140 plus targets every single year in the NFL. And it's not just going to be 20 plus yard plays if you run and go routes down the field. And it's not just going to be little short passes. That range of 10 to 19 yards of pushing that ball near at the sticks, maybe even a little bit past it, that's where I feel like Neighbors can get money, because you're going to have to respect the deep game. And if you play off with cushion, he can turn it into a hitch, turn it into a dig, and then you could possibly even turn that into a big play.
And that's where wide receiver one, I think, does make the biggest difference compared to other wide receivers in the NFL.
Yes.
Because quick game, it's quick to see. Is this guy going to get open? Deep passes, you think, oh, that takes long developing. It does in a sense from like offensive line standpoint, but from wide receiver and seeing what's going to happen, you could kind of tell fairly easy, especially if they're playing man covers, this guy's going to win. It's the intermediate stuff that actually takes the longest to get open, which means like you better hope that wide receiver is able to get open and sit in there and throw that ball. And so that's where it makes a huge difference. So yeah, again, deep, intermediate, short, all three levels of the field. So very excited about Malik Neighbors. How do you have anything else on Malik Neighbors specifically before we talk about the situation?
I have the short game. Even in the short game, he was sixth in yards per route run, sixth in yards after catch per reception, fourth in missed tackles forced, and tied for second on first downs. And deep, like I said, we know he's a dog, fourth in yards per route run, highest catch rate in 20-plus yards. We mentioned the deep catches and the deep yards as well.
Absolutely. So let's. I know we talked a little J.J. McCarthy at the top, but let's give our whole thing on this. I'll repeat it. He was not somebody worth taking as a franchise quarterback. Like you said, I think he'll look pretty good in Minnesota.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be a great quarterback, but I think it's a great situation for a quarterback. I think he'll look pretty good.
So I don't want to hear, by the way, that, oh, you guys didn't want to take him. We're telling you. I'm telling you right now that J.J. McCarthy is probably going to, we're both telling you, that he's probably going to look good in Minnesota. That does not mean that we should play revisionist history and say, oh, the Giants search Jacob Joachim passed on him. I don't think he would look good here. Right now.
No, he would have to start doing the things he didn't do in college, which is not passing up deep shots when they're there and start throwing the ball well outside the numbers.
And
right? If he starts doing that in Minnesota, then we do have to eat crow.
But. And also, let's mention this too. J.J. McCarthy can look good in Minnesota. And let's just say J.J. McCarthy's ceiling is Kirk Cousins.
Alex Smith was one of his bullet points.
Yeah, it was a winner, efficient, and Alex Smith on NFL Network.
They could have found better stuff to say. They could have said, like, anticipation of the middle of the field, throwing on the run. That was pretty a disrespectful card that NFL
I'm not saying that J.J. McCarthy is a Kirk Cousins player comp, because obviously J.J. McCarthy can move more and, you know, he could do more improvisation stuff, blah, blah, blah.
I think that's even above. I think Kirk Cousins, what he is now, is a higher ceiling than what J.J. McCarthy actually has. I truly do think Alex Smith is the perfect comp.
Let's just use Kirk Cousins as the example, right? How many playoff wins does Kirk Cousins have? Has Kirk Cousins ever made a Super Bowl? Like, are you confident that Kirk Cousins can take a team to a Super Bowl and then win that Super Bowl? He didn't do it with Minnesota.
And he got out-dueled by Daniel Jones.
Some are saying this is true. So I want my franchise quarterback to be like, I can envision this guy leading my team to a Super Bowl. Where, okay, you could say, oh, wait, whoa, he's good on Minnesota. He puts up good numbers. He has really good talent around him. I'm still not, like, I don't know if Vikings fans are probably saying that they can win a Super Bowl, but I'm not going to sit here and say that.
Absolutely. They'd have to get their defense a lot better to go with all the talent they have on offense.
So that's the goal.
Situation.
That's the goal. Where you don't just want to shoot for good, you want to shoot for great. And I'm willing to wait on that and help form up the rest of the roster and get star players.
And the whole, like, well, what are they going to do? I don't know. There isn't an easy answer.
You want to know what they're going to do? You want to know what
right
they
now
they have to form up the rest of the roster.
Right. Yeah. Right now they're in QB hell. Right?
No doubt.
And that makes it tempting to take J.J. McCarthy. But my opinion, and Joe Shane, the GM of the New York Giants, that taking JJ McCarthy would have just been started digging a new hole.
Yeah.
We would have went out of QB hell. We would have found a nice piece in the ground and started digging right back into it. Because even if it got to the ceiling 5-6 years from now, I think you'd still be wanting more.
Yeah.
And that's why I wasn't on him. So you don't talk yourself into a first round quarterback, especially when you're picking six. Right. It's one thing if you're in the middle of the first round, late in the first round. You do not talk yourself into, and that's what JJ McCarthy would have been. Right. Like, and this is not because they feel good about Daniel Jones. It's not because they don't view it as a need. They tried to trade up for Drake May and got denied. They desperately tried. Like,
they did.
Like, nonstop the last 48 hours trying to trade up with the Patriots to get Drake May. Like, tried. And me and you would have both, that's what we wanted. Like, I would prefer trading up for Drake May than taking Malik Neighbors.
I would have been very cool with that.
Because, like, the argument that a lot of people are giving right now, I agree with. I just don't think JJ McCarthy is the answer to that argument that people are making. Like, I wanted the trade up for Drake May, but I'm not going to be sad that that's something they didn't have a chance to do.
Right.
Right? Are you pissed off that the Giants are picking six and not third and not being there? Yeah. Yeah, but that, I realized that when the season ended.
Yeah.
And it was official they had the sixth overall pick.
Be mad at the Patriots for missing a chip shot field goal at the end of regulation. Don't be mad at Tommy DeVito for winning a good game against the Packers. Be mad at the Patriots for missing a chip shot field goal.
Be mad at Brian Daboll for coaching Tommy DeVito up pretty well.
Yeah, be mad at Brian Daboll for trying to save his job at the end. You know,
this isn't some like
from a 2-8 team.
This isn't some, them trying to save their investment into Daniel Jones. They were actively trying to trade up. So they did this because their evaluation said he is not a franchise QB. So, again, are the Giants in QB hell? Yes, but taking a non-franchise QB is just digging another hole to hell.
Do they also clearly understand, for the people that are, they clearly understand that they need a quarterback, though?
Yeah, they desperately tried.
Or else they wouldn't have been aggressive.
You know, sometimes a lack of confirmation is a cruft. I'm forgetting the phrase.
Sure.
But basically, like, where you don't, like, where you don't answer something and a non-answer is an answer or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, in the press conference, Shane never really even, like, he politicianed his way out of questions about quarterback. He's like, we're just really excited for Malik Neighbors. We're not going to talk about any moves that we had, blah, 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 type of stuff. But let's talk about Daniel Jones. Like, I will say, this is a good fit for him because he can make plays at all three levels, where Odunze would have not been. So that includes pick quick passes, and it creates one-on-ones for the other guys in some quick passes and, you know, when they get man coverage, you know, taking a deep shot here and there. But again, like we said before, this pick of Neighbors does not change anything for how we and they view Daniel Jones. But for the short term, because again, since before the torn ACL, we were on the pod, I can't remember which mailbag it was. I talked about it, I was like, I'm out on Daniel Jones.
This is bad, man.
Unless he plays at an MVP level, not like, oh, pretty good, I will be looking forward to the Giants drafting their next quarterback. But I also want to stop talking about Daniel Jones like he's Kyle LaLetta.
Yeah.
Like, it's been a little over the top, but
it's somewhere in the middle of he's not as bad as what he showed 2-8. Andrew Thomas isn't going to tear his shit up, hamstring up the first series of the year.
Hopefully not.
Right?
Please
don't it's not going to happen again. So it's not going to happen again. And adding better talent is going to help. Hopefully, the O-line better.
We see wide receiver ones produce with bad QBs. Now, that doesn't make you
a good offense.
Yeah, you don't feel happy at the end of the season. Like, oh yeah, we won six games, but we had a 1,000-yard receiver for the first. Like, that doesn't make your record feel any better.
But were you
on the path to getting to that point? Taking a great player in Malik Neighbors to me is the right decision 10 times out of 10.
Here's where I'm at with Daniel Jones. Where. Not as bad as what he showed at the start of 2023, but what we expected after 2022 was to take a step up.
And he took a step down.
And it was
a couple steps down.
And it was multiple steps down. I understand. Bad situation, bad this, bad that.
With all that, he played his worst ball since the first half of 2020.
Yeah.
Like, we could have came out of games where the Giants scored barely any points last year with Daniel Jones and been like, hey, this offensive line is terrible right now. This receiving core is not separating. But we came away from them like, yeah, those things are bad right now, but Daniel Jones is also leaving a lot of stuff on the field. And the addition of Darren Waller and Jalen Hyatt highlighted like, oh, the way they ran the offense of 2022, it doesn't feel as good anymore, all that efficiency, mm-hmm. because now they have explosive threats, and he's not pulling the trigger on those types of plays.
Right. So I don't, you know, Jones isn't as bad as what he showed at the start of 2023, but also the ceiling.
But he also showed us, like, we need to find our next franchise quarterback.
Right, but the ceiling that we thought that we could reach at the end of 2022, he's nowhere near. Yeah. And that's bad. And that's not a fun spot to be in.
Right. Let's do a quick note on Darius Slayton. We talked about this on a segment a couple of weeks ago. The Giants should explore options with him, not just to unload him, but one, I think Slayton probably would welcome it at this point because he's in a really tough situation because Malik Nabers is going to be a starter every down player. Please, hopefully. I don't want to look back at this as a bad take. And Darius Slayton is their second best wide receiver right now. Wandale's the slot only guy. He's their slot receiver. But they're not going to simply just keep Jalin Hyatt as a backup, and they're going to want to play him. And they should, right? They just traded up for a third round pick. The vertical threat that he has is insane. He needs to grow a lot as a player, but you can't just keep Jalin. You can't just have Jalin Hyatt be like, okay, you're the backup. If someone gets hurt, you'll play. Like, you're going to have to rotate him in and give him reps, and it can't be 8-10 per game. Like, you kind of have to mix him in well, unless he just doesn't take a step forward. And then you're just like, oh, that ends up being a bad pick. But Hyatt has proven value at the next level. He needs to prove his value lower than 20 yards to be a really good wide receiver. So I would explore those options. If you're not getting barely anything back, then I would just stick with Slayton for another year. If someone gets hurt, we've got some depth. But they should explore those options because right now, as a starting unit, it's a very weird spot for Slayton. But we also need to. It's okay to have more than a couple competent players at a position too. We don't have to trade every single player who may be on his way out too.
There's a lot of good players that are available right now. You know, when you look at the start of the second round.
Yeah,
and you don't know if, like, I've been saying it over and over again that I hate pick 47. Pick 47's a, it's only 14, 15 picks, but it's a long ways away, and it's those players can come off the board. I would be okay with dealing Darius Slayton if it's in an effort to trade up from 47.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd be very okay. Like a Johnny Newton, a Kool-Aid McKinstry, I don't know the medicals on Cooper DeJean. I like saying DeJean, like it's like he's French. But one of these defensive players that's kind of like falling right now a little bit, I would be cool. And another offense, I don't know if there's an offensive lineman that's kind of sexy that would be Jackson Paris Johnson, but he's kind of a center.
He could play guard,
He could play guard. So if you feel like he's a fit at guard, there's like good quality, I feel, back end first round talent that's on the board right now that we all kind of maybe expected to be taken in the first round, but you had six quarterbacks taken in the first round, first time since like 1983. So I would be okay with that. But also, I'm a huge proponent of keeping Darius Slayton because now I don't view wide receiver as like a position of need.
No, absolutely not.
But if Darius Slayton is traded, I view wide receiver depth as a position of need. Not wide receiver starting, but like wide receiver, like getting an extra guy just in the room that you could depend on.
I think you could live with Hodgins as your four.
Slayton's just been so reliable.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not just trying to throw Slayton away. Right. You know, a lot of people right now would just be like, yeah, I'd trade him for a fifth or sixth.
No.
I would definitely not, but no. I would explore it.
But also it does make sense. If you look at the state of the roster and how it's constructed, one more year of Darius Slayton this year, and then, you expect Hyatt to continue to take a step up. You want Malik Nabers to be your 140 target guy. So it does make sense that this is going to be his last year in blue. So versus the last year of his rookie contract, where there was no plan of wide receiver kind of after him, where it's like, well, why are we just going to trade this guy when we need him? Now it's like, okay, well, there is a path here with Hyatt on his rookie deal, Robinson on his rookie deal, and Nabers on his rookie deal, there's a path to, okay, these guys can be starters, and we could survive without Darius.
Yeah, I'd prefer to keep Slayton and make Hyatt prove that he's a wide receiver too.
Yeah, yeah. If
Hyatt looks like that, then the trade deadline, you could probably get some for Slayton there.
But it may not be much, but you could get something. Getting a better player right now in the draft, then I'm also doing that.
Yeah.
Because I'm scared of what's going to be available at 47.
I think pick 37 is a lot different than 47 at this draft. So.
Huge.
Let me talk about something before we talk about Malik Nabers and guns.
Sure.
Thanks so much to SeatGeek for sponsoring this video, this episode. Baseball season is back, and SeatGeek is hooking us up with a new special offer for the month of April. They're our presenting sponsor, and we're very, like, so appreciative of that. Like, not a lot of shows have presenting sponsors. SeatGeek made that happen for us. Everyone can use code GIANTS10 for 10% off any tickets on SeatGeek, whether you're a new customer or
not.
Not. This suit is black, not. Baseball season is officially here, and artists like Drake, Hozier, and Bad Bunny, who is a man, are on tour. You already know that SeatGeek is the best place to get tickets.
Who's a man?
Nomander.
You all right?
I was thinking of Borat when he's like, I could not understand what this man was saying. No matter how many tickets you bought using SeatGeek before, Giants 10 is going to get you 10% off your next order, which is huge. Like, it's usually 20% off your first order. This is new, so take advantage of it. So take out your phone, whip it out, open the SeatGeek app, and add code GIANTS10 to your account. What are you waiting for? Do it now, because this offer is only available through the end of April. Code GIANTS10 for 10% off your next order. I'm going to do that right now. So I got the SeatGeek app.
SeatGeek.
It's saying, we've noticed you're in a different location. From where would you like to see events? Melbourne, Florida, New York. Melbourne. Oh, my gosh. Look, Bad Bunny is going to be at the Orlando Magic thing.
No way.
On May 17th.
Get out of town.
I'm going to go see that man. All right, Justin, we have to talk about this.
Malik Nabers and guns.
You know, if you've been listening to this podcast for a few years, you might remember the pro-gun violence days.
There's even a gun in the sweatshirt you have right now.
So it's actually the best matching draft hoodie with the Giants draft.
Yeah.
Not
as good as DeAndre.
Last year's was bad because it was let's win some games. We didn't win any games. All right, let's get serious.
Thanks, Mr. Brownson.
So I'm going to read a story on Malik Nabers.
Story time.
A misdemeanor gun charge against LSU wide receiver Malik Nabers was dropped
kind of story.
After his arrest on Bourbon Street in New Orleans. New Orleans, not New Orleans. Prosecutors dropped the charge on Mardi Gras on the condition that the weapon, which police seized a day earlier, not be returned to Nabers, according to Orleans Parish Magistrate Court records. And this was a quote, based upon the lack of a previous criminal background and the individual currently being enrolled in college, we did not proceed with the misdemeanor gun carrying charge against him at this time in exchange for his immediate and voluntary forfeiture of the firearm. The Orleans Parish District Attorney's Office sent a statement. Nabers, 19, was arrested in Lundy Gras at about 7:30 p.m. when officers on foot patrol in the French Quarter noticed an L-shaped object in his front pants pocket. Police wrote in records, files, and criminal district court. Police said they asked whether Nabers had a permit, and he told them he did not. They handcuffed him, took him to jail, and booked him with illegal carrying of a weapon. The gun was put in the evidence. On conviction, illegal carrying of a weapon carries a maximum penalty of 6 months in jail and a $500 fine. So he's never in threat of going to jail anyways, even if he gets charged. So he got off because he was an LSU football player, essentially.
Yeah.
That is worrisome, right? And that's why we debated the Odunze thing. So you hope, like, one, there's no legal stuff. But also, like, there's not stuff that's not legally bad, but can be a pain in the ass in the locker room with stuff, right? And specifically with the wide receiver position. Like, you make jokes about, like, oh, a diva wide receiver and stuff, and I don't know about Nabers' personality or anything. But, like, it just ends up being true somehow. And it'll end up being true if you don't have a good quarterback either, right? So, like, that's always going to be a question. But
win games.
I think he's going to be a great player. Hopefully you can deal with the headaches. Hopefully he's not someone who sabotages the team and gets people to take sides and stuff like that. And the saving grace is, and I hate saying this on the night we drafted him. I really do. The saving grace is that, like, you can always trade a wide receiver one for a first round pick. So if he proves to be a wide receiver one and 4 or 5 years from now he's a pain in the ass and he's doing Stephon Diggs stuff or Odell stuff or whatever, you could, like, it's not a wasted investment. But I hope we never get there, but I felt like we had to talk about that because that is worrisome, right? Like, it's not worrisome of, like, oh my gosh, this guy did a bad thing. It's just incredibly dumb to take a weapon, put it in your pocket, go to Mardi Gras, and not have a a permit for it. Assumedly, probably drinking. It's just, it's really dumb no matter who you are. It's even dumber when you have the potential to be an NFL player. Not potential. He's a fucking 6 overall pick, Bobby.
You know, if there's one thing that I believe Joe Shane and I believe.
They said they watched the film on it. Go watch the press conference. Like, yeah, we saw the film on that.
Yeah, we watched the body cam footage. What do you learn from that, by the way?
They didn't say body cam footage, but he's like, we saw the video of that or whatever. I'm posting the video on Twitter tomorrow.
I mean, what are they implying if they watched the video? It was the body cam footage.
I guess, but it's just a very weird thing to say about
someone's arrest. What do you think they learned from it? What was the learning point?
I feel like you can learn something if someone who's in trouble is respectful or is just like, fuck you, motherfucker. Let me relax. This is a big podcast. But people just lose their mind, you know?
This isn't the drive stream.
Like, yeah, I think it's like they're, you can't actually tell a difference. Like if someone's remorseful or if they're just like, right, screw so there you.
That's what they learned.
You dirty pit. Like I do think there is a difference in that.
If there's one thing that I, you know, I believe Joe Shane and he's preached it since day one. And, you know, hey, even Dave Gettleman preached a lot of stuff and didn't actually do it. But
we drafted Kadarius Toney.
If there's one thing that I believe Joe Shane on, it's that, you know, I smart, tough, dependable, right? Dependable, I also think, falls under the categorization of having good character and having a work ethic and working hard. He's talked about that all the time. You know, it's you're scouting the person. You're not just scouting the player and the talent and the ceiling, but you're also scouting the, you know, who you are as a person. And Joe Shane has talked about that all the time. Talked about it a ton leading into him being a actual GM and him being an assistant GM. And he's talked about it a lot since he's been hired as the Giants GM. So I do believe him on that. You know, hey, maybe you're taking a little bit. Clearly, you're taking some sort of chance with Malik Nabers, right? He's not the cleanest prospect ever. They would have taken Odunze if that was the case. So this is clearly like, hey, Brian Daboll, get your hands on him. Let's make sure that he's going to stay good and he's going to stay, you know, clean, whatever. So I trust that they did their work. They did their background stuff to determine that he's good. And that's one of those situations where, because we don't have access to that data, we can't talk to him. We can't actually.
Yeah, we just can't ignore it either, though.
But you can't ignore it. So, but I do trust if this were like the previous GM, I would not trust it. But if this were this is Joe Shane, I think he's proven. Hey, the guys that he's drafted may not be good, but they seem like hard workers and good dudes.
Yeah. Before we get into our round two, look at, I forgot to do this at podcast. I even highlighted it in red. So help me make up for my mistake. Share the big ones Monday, the full draft recap. That's the one I really want you to, if you're only going to do it one time.
Like this episode.
Like and subscribe to the episode if you're watching on YouTube. Share it with a friend, right? Yeah, share it with a friend. And also, I know people don't care about this, and Justin doesn't either, but I love reading 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. Mm-hmm. So leave us a 5-star review, and maybe it will get high up in the charts like Malik Nabers. Maybe can we get – I want to be ranked higher than where Malik Nabers did in the draft, which we did a couple years ago. I think we got to like number 4 in football. So let's be better than Malik Nabers after this podcast. But for pick 47, a good amount of guys who were looked at as first round players fell out, right? Justin Johnny Newton from Illinois.
He's my dream.
Yeah. Giants had a top 30 visit with him. Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. Kool-Aid McKinstry, who we kind of thought might fall to the second, but another guy top 30 visits. That would be great to get him there. Jackson Powers Johnson. Right, we interviewed him at the Senior Bowl. We even had put the interview on the podcast. And then there's other guys who, like, I've looked at as targets that always, like Christian Haynes or Edgerton Cooper, the linebacker at Texas A&M. Like you said, you don't like pick 47. I don't either. But I do feel better about it with the guys that have fell to the second round. And the fact that wide receiver has went, like, Leggett went in the first round. Ricky Pearsall went in the first round. Yeah. Xavier Worthy went in the first round. All guys.
Michael Penix Jr. went in the first.
Yeah, Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix. So, like.
Darius Robinson went in the first.
Yeah. So, like, there's guys who I didn't view as first round talents, or really even guys who I would really love at pick 47, especially with the Giants going wide receiver at 6. It basically wipes all the receivers off the board for the most part.
Keon Coleman could go early in the second round.
Yeah, so you could see a little run on wide receivers. Adonai Mitchell didn't go in the first round, did he?
He's pick 33.
Yeah, I would be surprised. But again, like, I feel a lot better about it now than I did, you know, last night when we record our mock draft.
Maybe that's
episode.
Why they didn't sit down with any second round wide receivers.
maybe. So, was there any other names on there that you wanted to point out?
No. Can you do? I want to do an exercise though. So the Giants have pick 47, 33, 47 minus 33 is 14. Correct. That's how many picks there will be until the Giants.
It'd be minus 32 because there's only 32 picks in the first round.
Well, no, we're on pick 33 though. 47 yeah. minus 33 or minus 33.
So they have the 15th pick.
15. Do you have listed 15 players that you would be happy with taking at 47? This is my exercise on whether I'm happy with staying at 47 or not.
So there's those six guys that I just mentioned. There's a good amount of receivers who I'm like, oh, they're definitely worth pick 47, but they might be off the board. Let's see. There's what other guys that are there? You know, I really like Cam Kitchens. I know people don't share that same like for me.
I'm open to trading back.
Cooper Beeb is there.
But again, Ennis
Rakestraw now, there's a good chance he'd get there where I thought he might not get there before.
I don't view Cooper Beeb as 47. I view him as more like 70. But I'm open to trading back. They only have five more picks.
I am too, unless one of those six guys out of those six guys I just mentioned are not yeah. there, then I would like, if one of those six guys are there, even Edgerton Cooper, who's a linebacker.
Who are the six guys? Johnny Newton, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Christian Haynes.
Jackson Powers Johnson, Edgerton Cooper, and Cooper DeJean. Not in that order, but.
Okay.
So that's six guys.
My dream two are Kool-Aid, Johnny Newton. That's my like dream two.
Yeah, those would be the two like craziest ones. I'm going to be watching Cooper DeJean film for real. Tomorrow morning. So.
And the messed up thing about Cooper DeJean is we just don't know. We don't know the medicals.
Yeah. All right, Justin, that's an episode. Appreciate you guys for listening. We'll be live for the rest of the draft.
Yeah.
You know, full draft recap will be out Monday.
And check out Football Today if you want to hear our thoughts on the rest of
I'm going to go off on the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah. If you want to hear our thoughts on the rest of the NFL draft, we'll be going with Chris Rose tomorrow morning. On JM Football.
Yep. I'm so excited to just rip the Atlanta Falcons.
Or this morning when you're listening.
Yeah, that is true. All right, so we appreciate you guys. We will see you on the next one. Until then, be happy you got my league neighbors. And let's go Big Blue.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.